Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
You know it.
Get ready. Woo! We are doing, and we're doing it better than anybody else alive.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, wrestling fans, and sports entertainment fans, welcome to the No Shave Man Cave. I'm Ellie Jair.
I am Jay Tilly.
Yo, baby. We're live. What's
live.
Up?
Live and nationwide.
Live.
Man, this is going to be an experience for the fans and for us, I'm sure.
Faux show. Hey, what a great week to not only be live, but to be a wrestling fan from the WWE draft closing out. The Backlash pay-per-view going on in San Juan, Puerto Rico. A excellent AEW talk of AEW show coming up, and we're here live and we're able to introduce ourselves to the fam. So let's run it down, man. What JT, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So this being our first live show, and if you've listened to our podcast, we're probably regurgitating some of it. However, we're going to do it anyway. So, I go by Jay Tilly on the podcast. I have been a wrestling fan probably 30-something years of my life. Found it a long time ago. The thing about the No Shave Man Cave is Ellie Jair and I are both disabled vets. Love talking about wrestling and decided to start our own podcast, which is now becoming a weekly live show, which is kind of blowing my mind. But, we jumped into this kind of head first and didn't know what we were doing. I think our first recording, if you go back and listen to the podcast, was done on Jared's phone. it was great. And we're going to kind of regurgitate some of that as to what our vision is, what you guys will expect from us as a show, and what you can look forward to every week when you come on and see us. Like I said, I did 24 years in the Air Force, retired, disabled vet on a fixed income, and working for the man, and decided to partner up with my buddy there who, he can do his intro and his Marine Corps stuff, but, loving life. And, let the beautiful people hear about you, and then we can tell them about the show itself, and then we'll roll into some wrestling stuff.
Heck yeah, man. Thank you. Yeah. So I'm, Ellie Jair. I'm here in St. Augustine, Florida, and I retired from the Marine Corps after 28 years and wanted to find my next adventure. And I've always had wrestling in my life, I didn't revolve my life around it, until probably 2-3 years ago. I really got back into it. And it all started when I went on a road trip and I saw Jerry the King Lawler. And he threw that fireball and I was like hooked. So I'm loving it. You know, when we sat down and talked about the things that we wanted to do, we wanted to talk about professional wrestling on our show. We're bourbon fans. We love smoking meat, barbecuing.
Don't make it weird.
And, you know, we are really digging this trip that we're on, and it's only just beginning. So we're going to be, you know, on this network, we're going to be doing some big things, and I couldn't be happier, especially having an awesome tag team partner, but having this, the support of this network. And, you know, we were recently on another show, The Wrestling Addicts. Matt and Sal wasn't there that day, but Matt opened us, you know, brought us in with open arms, and we had a blast. So kudos to him, to the commish, the Chris's, and just super cool. Angela had us on the bus a while ago, too. So yep. Good times, man.
So you mentioned Jerry Lawler, not to gloss over thanking everybody. I thank them all too, but we got to talk wrestling, man. So you kind of talked over the Jerry Lawler thing as to what got you into wrestling. Was that the first memory you had on wrestling, or was it the kind of, that was the kicker that really hooked you?
No, that was like the first time I'd ever seen it. We had done a road trip. I lived in New York at the time, and we went and saw my sister who was stationed in Kentucky at the time. I was flipping through. And bam, I was like hooked. This is awesome. And then from there on out, anytime I went anywhere, I'd try and catch other wrestling shows. And at home, I could catch the Calgary Stampede. I could catch wrestling on WGN. I could catch wrestling. There was a New York channel that I could catch. So I was able to get wrestling like 3 days a week. But one of them, I had to sneak downstairs, and it was like 3 in the morning on a Saturday. They'd come down, my mom and sister and everybody would come down, and I'd already be done with my bowl of cereal. And it looked like I was just watching cartoons, but I was conked out because I but you had talked about how when you got into wrestling, it was moderately difficult for you to catch too. So I think that was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's, you said the sneaking down at 3 a.m. Well, I didn't necessarily sneak down at 3 a.m., but my mom was big and not a fan of wrestling, you know, the violence and all that when we were growing up. So I remember she would be making breakfast in the morning, and I'd sneak in and watch wrestling. And she'd come in, and I'd jump up because we didn't have remotes. So I'd have to jump up and turn the channel real quick to something else. But I remember watching it. And then one time I was watching it, and she caught me, and it was Sting. And Sting's on TV, and she didn't yell that much that time. She went, "Wait, who's that guy?" I'm like, "Oh, that's Sting." And then she kind of sat there and watched it with me, and it kind of was easy to watch from then on. But I'll never forget, like, my mom got infatuated with Sting, and that was it. Boy, she was like, "Oh, you can watch that wrestling thing. When's Sting going to be on?" Like, "Oh, it'll be on later, Mom."
That's but, awesome.
Yeah, thank it was you, pretty Sting. Funny.
Thank you, yeah. Sting. I appreciate it.
Yeah, if I ever meet him, I'll have to shake his hand for saving my wrestling love, because – you know, she was all about to lecture me, and he popped on, and this was blonde hair, you know, surfer Sting. So it was good stuff. The it's interesting that we both have that kind of wrestling as a child in our memories. And I think one of the things that the fans will come to learn about us is you are very much a historian. If you are tuning in for the first time hearing us, or if you heard any of our podcasts in the past, I have to watch him because he'll go on these tangents about Mid-South, some wrestler I've never even heard of who's a jobber who's suddenly doing things. And I'm like, who are you talking about? And I always love that because title belts. You ask about a title belt, boy, he's going to tell you that, you know, Vince McMahon's family crest is in the new championship or whatever the case is. So as the fans are getting to know us, they'll learn that. He's a big WWE mark too. And I'm just saying, you know, we have to forgive him for some things. No. I'm a big AEW fan.
Oh yeah. One of the faithful yep. AEW. So hell yeah.
Yeah. I was there at the press conference when they announced it. So pretty cool. And then when Daly's Place opened up after COVID, attended every show and I've been a diehard AEW fan since. And as we go through and you guys learn more about us, you'll probably figure out that the reasons why I fell out of love with WWE, I am getting back into it. Hence the fact that we're going to do a Backlash review and talk. I do think my AEW brain gets in the way sometimes though, because I'll try to prognosticate some outcomes and I'm like, wait, they just did that? Oh, come on. They could have done so much more.
Yeah.
Let Cody win.
Yeah. And my WWE brain ruins the wrestling experience because I'm waiting for some shticky thing to happen. And the WWE finishes can get you on the back end. So yeah, we're pretty much the epitome of what a tag team should be. And over the next however long you decide to take this trip with us, you will absolutely enjoy it. Some of the trips that we go on, and we're suiting up, getting ready to plan our trip to WrestleMania 40, where we will be looking to host a party and bring the fam together. And it is going to be a blast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be a good time. That's kind of one of them bucket list things. Again, been a fan, was a huge fan of WWE growing up. So I've been to Royal Rumble. I've been to SummerSlam. WrestleMania is the only one that's eluded me. So definitely excited about that trip.
It's time.
I know you talked about going to some of the independent stuff. Did you ever go to any of the big shows? The big threes? Fours, however many WWE has now.
No, I've been to pre Monday Night Raw. I'd gone to some WWE shows when they came to Tucson when I was in high school or pre high school in the mid 80s, and saw Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan, SD, saw Junkyard Dog, and the minute I saw him, cool. I was like, this dude has the stuff. And little did I know what, the death of the territories would do to, some of the wrestling icons of that era when they came to the WWE, what they would become. But it was still really cool to see.
Yellow and black polka dots.
For yeah, Dustin, man.
And he still got over, though. Still got over.
Oh, man. Yeah. He owned those dots. And yeah. got to see some shows. I was stationed in North Carolina for a little while. We went up to Raleigh a couple times. Went to Charlotte, caught some shows, but never any pay-per-views. It was always, either Friday or Monday Night Raw. So
Forbidden Door, when we went, that was your first pay-per-view?
That was wow. My first. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was my first pay-per-view when we were sitting there in Chicago. And
you lost your pay-per-view virginity with me.
Wow, I'll never forget my first time. Those dudes were so drunk, they just started leaning on.
Yeah. So we're sitting at the pay-per-view, and the two guys next, of course, two of the biggest dudes in the aisle are sitting next to each other, me and the guy next to me.
Yeah.
And they got so wasted that the guy literally like leaned on my shoulder and was falling asleep, like drooling on me. And I'm like, get off, dude. Like, just let me watch let me watch the Rainmaker here. Like, come on, man.
I'm still upset I didn't get to see that in person.
I know.
I am super excited and happy to see Adam Cole in the ring again, and can't wait to
I've been watching that All Access and seeing his recovery, and then it kind of dawned on me, I'm like, oh my god, I was there when he took that hit that almost cost his career.
Yeah.
So speaking of AEW, it's a little early, we were gonna go 20 minutes talking about ourselves, but I'm cool if you want to roll into AEW right now.
Let's do it, man. Let's pay some bills and see what's good.
Cool, let's roll.
You know what that means? It's a new year and a new era of AEW Dynamite, and it begins tonight. Live.
There we go. Transitions and everything. Look at us.
Yeah.
So, AEW, man, what'd you think of Dynamite this week? Just a high overview. We're not going to go match by match, but what'd you think and some of your highlights on it?
Yeah, I really thought the show did some justice. I was waiting to see like what kind of continuation or, little Easter eggs that were going to be planted with Taya Valkyrie and Jade Cargill. And I really thought that they were going to bring up Collision and what was happening programming wise, because we're going to lose Rampage and gain some other stuff.
I think we're keeping Rampage. We lost Dark and Elevation. But latest reports is that Rampage will kind of take that place as that Saturday night main event, for better time, better way to put it.
Yeah,
so I think Rampage will stay, but it'll be like a developmental show. Yeah,
that'll be good. Cool. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The crowd was really into it. The commentating was, man, they just, and then Friday they were talking about that Jericho, they planted some funny comments, and then someone let it slip that Jericho was afraid.
Well, I mean, do you blame him? Like, I thought, so that match with the opening match on Dynamite with Orange Cassidy, who, man, talk about making a title. But you got Orange Cassidy, Bandido, and Cole, and Roderick Strong, who last time I checked was still on WWE's roster page.
Yeah.
But having
you might want to update that.
Yeah, having them versus the JSA, I loved, and this is probably one of them sort of things that, you know, average, you know, lapse fan who doesn't really pay attention didn't catch. But I, watching wrestling for so long, loved the fact that Adam Cole had his girlfriend beat up. And it wasn't like Jericho came out there. It's like he wanted to go after him. And then, you know, the four guys stood in front of him. Okay, fine. I've got this match. And then every time you kind of get the upper hand in the match, if you watch, he tries to leave to go after Jericho. And every time somebody stops him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love that. Like, they didn't just like, oh, okay, you beat my girlfriend up. Let me go focus on this for 30 minutes and then I'll come back to you. Like, they left it all there. And then when he gets that pin, I love that he runs up the ramp and just Jericho being Jericho. You know, I'm going to get one snide remark in because he's not going to get up here this fast. And like, hey, you know, Adam Cole, oh shit, he's here.
Yeah.
Just like, and then that brawl was great. The brawl outside. It's funny because, you know, we had talked about in the past about the Jericho problem and how I felt like he'd get stale. And every time we say that, he does something that just reinvents himself. And that's what he did here.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh my God, this is such a great buildup to a feud. Yes, it'll probably be your standard Jericho. You'll have to go through all my minions, blah, blah, blah. But I cannot wait for Jericho and Adam Cole at Double or Nothing. I think it's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I think it's going to absolutely, you know, so, you know, we're talking about Double or Nothing. We're looking ahead at All In. They're looking at 60,000 tickets already sold. And before, I think it was like 1.1 million was the top gate. They're at 6.7 million already,
man, that
and
shows
they're going to keep releasing tickets, I believe. And, you know, good on them. I'm, you know, business, competition, improvement, it just drives everyone. And, you know, this is really pushing WWE to get better. It's pushing Impact to get better. Impact's viewership is up too. And I think, yeah, you've talked about this numerous times that if we're not just over the cusp, we're right at the cusp of another golden era in professional wrestling. And it's all because what AEW did a few years ago. And now, you know, it's freaking awesome.
I was just going to say, hey, watch me just like lose half our audience. Tony Khan saved wrestling, man.
Hey,
I mean, I'm kidding. He may have saved the overflow of WWE drone, same old stuff over and over again for sure. Because like I said, that competition definitely breeds the competition breeds competition. Like, so they want to do better.
Yeah.
Cause now the rumors are Drew McIntyre wants out and he's talking about, you know, you might see Drew McIntyre and Wardlow at All In for the dang TNT title. Like what?
Wow. Yeah. Just think it wasn't that long ago that, you know, McIntyre headlined a show in Wales, and now he's going to turn around and be, you know, going for a title at AEW in Wembley in front of, you know, damn 90,000 fans. And when WrestleMania was there, or maybe it was SummerSlam.
It was SummerSlam.
You know, Road Warriors came down on Hogs, and they had, you know, roughly 80,000. It was reported like 77 something. So we'll call it. This
is on track to break wrestling attendance records from like if they continue on the scope they're going, and they open up to 90,000, 100,000 people, they're on pace to almost break all time attendance records.
Man,
Can you imagine the noise in that place when singing Judas for Jericho? Or, you know, if,
man, yeah,
which I'm sure he'll be on there, but Matt Hardy doing the delete. Mm-hmm. Just like the noise that's going to rumble that place is going to be amazing.
Man. The pops that that hater are going to get. The, oh man, I can't. Yeah, it's too. And looking at some of the photos from before, I dropped a tweet out a little earlier today, just looking at some of the photos, how they're thinking the field and the ring and the seats are going to be set up. I was like, man, I need a paper bag. That is a lot of people.
Shoot. Yeah, that's,
dude,
that's insane. Dynamite, we got some more advancement on the BCC Elite story. So we're going to see a cage match coming this coming Wednesday. And this card Wednesday is shaping up to be pretty nice.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, you've got some pretty stacked matches on it. You got the cage match, you got FTR talking. You're gonna have Orange Cassidy versus Daniel Garcia, which that's gonna be a hell of a match.
That's gonna be a fun one.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. So, you know, again, for the fans that are first tuning, usually we'll spend a lot more time talking and dissecting through these. But due to it being our first show, we want to take some time doing some other stuff. But I do want to talk about Rampage, because I absolutely loved Rampage. And I feel dirty saying that, but I absolutely loved the stuff with Mark Briscoe and his family. I thought the match was stellar. I mean, they were slapping the snot out of each other.
Yeah, it was very hard-hitting.
I really enjoyed the deletion thing. I didn't think I would. I'm not usually into the cinematic, goofy. I was just, I don't know, maybe the gummies kicked in, but I was just laughing and having a good old time watching this thing, and I really enjoyed it. What did you think about Rampage overall? I know Ty didn't show up, and it was just Jade, and then all they said was Ty suspended, so I heard you crying from here.
Oh, man, I was like, come on, this is my girl. We can't suspend her already, but I get it. It's finally... or maybe not finally, I don't want to get too presumptuous, but I think they could potentially be building to a really, really good storyline. A strong woman storyline is exactly what we need. And, you know, Taya can absolutely carry a match, and Jade Cargill is getting better every week. So I think that is going to go a long way. But yeah, I was a little upset, like, what? You're suspending her. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, you can't be putting your hands and sending Aubrey to Valhalla. Yep. But no, I thought it was good. I thought it was above average, like exceptionally above average. And the cinematic stuff, I wasn't sure how I felt. And it totally changed, like the whole, it totally changed my mind. Like the minute I saw the gate, how the gate was presented and how they were presented and the four, I was just like, man, this is so much better than COVID era WrestleMania last ride with the dead man. Or I just, yeah, great. Kudos to the creativity of the Hardys, and you know, salute to Tony and that whole production crew for letting them give us a little sports entertainment.
Yeah, I loved Hook sitting just eating his chips. And hey, we started. Oh, we started. Like, yeah, it was good stuff. And then you mentioned the women thing. I forgot to talk about it on Dynamite. I love that Sheeta's back. And I love the double swerve, because when she came back, I
was
yes. I'm a huge Sheeta fan. So I was like, yes, she's back. Then when she goes to hug, I'm like, oh man, they're really gonna turn her heel. And then when she swerves again, I'm like, yay! I think I actually like made an audible cheer in my house. So we definitely now kind of has settled on a 3-on-3, I think. I did think there was some weird stuff, like the baby faces come out to save Willow, get the beat down, and they save Willow. Then they leave her. They just leave, and she's sitting by the ring. I'm like, y'all couldn't have, like, help the girl out, pick her up? Like, come on now.
Let's and that kind of stuff, I just look at, like, the producer and go, okay, hey, you know, we got to tighten up some stuff. Their AEW used to have a huge referee problem. They fixed the referee problem. They used to just spend way too much time outside the ring. They've really curtailed that a lot. I love what they're doing with the trios.
Oh, yeah, the new
trios championship.
Open,
how
Black House of Black match is
I think that's phenomenal, and it's only going to build those titles up and make them a lot stronger. And I'm really digging this Arn Anderson connection with Wardlow, and I think it's going to be really good. But at the same time, I'm like, well, why is Arn saying he's been getting bad advice? And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe they're planting something, so a little bit later on, they can go revisit the MJF thing.
Yep.
And so I think that will be really cool. So MJF will do his thing. We'll get through the four pillars. We'll get through the summer. We'll get through Wembley. And then, come January, February timeframe, now we can kind of button up the MJF run, and you'll have your champion. You think it's going to be Adam Cole?
I do. I still think it's going to be Adam Cole.
Yeah, I think there's a really, really strong chance of that. But there's also a part of me thinks that it's going to be an AEW original. And, hell, it may even turn out to be Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
So,
Wardlow makes sense. Like, you could absolutely, rerun back Wardlow, because he squashed MJF in like 2 minutes and never has revisited that. So he could absolutely go, hey, now that I'm done with the TNT title, he'll drop it to someone, who knows. He can definitely look up and go, all right, I know who can beat you. I'm tired of you talking about leaving with the title. I've been here at AEW from the beginning. I want the title shot. Yeah. I could see Wardlow being the guy. For sure. And that'd be a great babyface thing. They've just got to build him up more. And I think, like you said, being with Armed Anderson is a good way to do it.
Heck yeah.
Because you can see it in him. He's building that confidence. He even looks better in the ring. He seems more confident. So whatever they were doing in the back was hurting him. And this has kind of helped him get on to that next step, which I think is nothing but a good thing.
Yeah. Ever since he did that interview after Samoa Joe cut his hair.
Yep.
And you saw that sort of that human side of him. And then him pairing with Arn just, put a rocket on him and, let's keep grooming him. They get through Wembley. He does or doesn't drop the TNT title. And, now MJF is past all of the four pillars stuff. You have Collision. You've got Dynamite. You have Rampage. And now you can kind of shift the landscape of AEW to see. So are they going to have a Collision title? Are they going to have a...
So latest is they're not going to split the roster. They're going to keep the roster the same and just have 2 2-hour shows. He said they may work more on another show than one another, but that the plan is not to actually split the roster. I think Dave Meltzer reported that out this week.
Cool.
So, and I think that's a good way to do it. You can, because they have so much talent, they could spread them across two shows. But the splitting the roster thing, we'll get into the draft a little bit here in about 4 or 5 minutes when we talk about WWE. But
yeah,
because they're already ruining the draft on that side of it. We'll get into it. We'll get in. I don't want to jump yet, because I do want to bring up one more thing that...
here we go. Damn you, Vince. I learned a little bit more about the new WWE title, too, the World Heavyweight title. We'll share that here after we transition. So cool.
Yeah, but before we do, you mentioned production eras, and I caught another one on this show. However, I don't know if it's a legit one or if it's playing into the story. So when... And speaking of which, I can't believe we glossed over this too. Daniel Bryan cuts Bryan Danielson. I always forget what he's going by now. Bryan Danielson cuts an amazing promo, but you don't hear the first 30 seconds of it because they forget to cut his mic on. And I laughed at it because oh my God, they do this all the time. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, the Elite are EVP, so maybe they didn't cut his mic on. But when he dropped that line about Bret Hart, I was like, oh, hold on. What? So now I'm sitting here thinking, okay, is CM Punk going to be the one to come in and join the Elite as the fourth? Because he's such a Hart fan. And those were definitely jabs at Hart. And did you see Mox kind of corpse at the end when he said, even this little shithead here is going to be better than Bret Hart? And you see Mox kind of go try to hold it in. He had to look away from the camera.
Yeah. But, well, I think there's something to that because they're going to be going through Canada.
Yep.
So there could be potential for something. And I know Bret Hart's on a Legends contract, and you know, if it's good for business, you know, anything, there it is. I think if something's good for business, that they'll peel a couple bucks and just, you know, hope extend Bret Hart's contract or something. Yeah. As long as he doesn't come in and, you know, deface the WWE, I think there's a really good chance that he could be involved. And
Sorry, I didn't mean to bust your bubble.
I keep trying to forget that, and you bring me back to reality.
So real quick, we do beard ratings here. We don't do star ratings, so get the luscious beards. So I gave Dynamite 4 beards, and I gave Rampage 3 beards.
Yeah, I gave Rampage 3.5, and 3 beards, and Dynamite 3.5, and just awesome. And I would have given it more, but Ty wasn't on, so what did he get it to?
Hey, but Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker are on.
True. In spirit, an extra hair or something. Chinny chin.
Just a little mustache for.
Yeah, there you go.
I was going to say something about rides and stuff, but anyway. All right. Well, with that, let's go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to transition to some WWE talk and talk some Backlash.
Backlash.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, I hate the draft. I hate the WWE draft. I think it's stupid. I think they ruined it already this week on SmackDown. But that's just my opinion.
I know. I was like, well, wait a minute. I thought that this draft was going to lead to other things. And I was really expecting some really good things. And I sort of understand the tournament being open to both shows. But I think the WWE could have gotten around that by drafting the people they wanted in the tournament over to Raw instead of them muddying the waters and having some of the SmackDown superstars, I don't want to say implicated like it's a crime, but you're basically, you know, saying that this draft, they're going to be exclusive, but I'm going to talk out of both sides of my face. Come on, Trip. Come on.
So what you said there just actually makes a little sense and actually gave me a little leeway on it. You're right. Like if they're going to have a championship tournament, having them being able to open it up to anybody who wants that championship, I'll forgive that a little bit. I'm okay with them doing some of this SmackDown thing. I don't like that they're just doing 2 triple threat matches and then the title. Yeah. Like I wish they would set up a regular straight up bracket style.
Yeah.
You know, single elimination tournament to get to your champion. I think the triple threat is a cop out, and then your winner. So there's 6 people. That's it contending for this belt. I can name at least 15 or 10 off the top of my head that I think should be in it. You know, like LA Knight, Shinsuke Nakamura, Randy Orton, if he comes back tonight, you know, there's a ton of them, but that'll be for a show next week. We can talk about some of that because we'll get through Backlash. But let's start with Raw. What did you think about Raw this week?
Raw is Jericho! I love
update
that.
That one. Since he's
that
not
was
in,
awesome.
He's not in WWE anymore. Yeah. But what did you think of Raw?
I really enjoyed it. I thought the flow of the show was really good. It wasn't over, like, there wasn't a lot of shticky stuff. And I liked how Tripp came out and explained a lot better what was going on and really sort of, I don't know the right word, like buttoned up what we're going to start seeing. And overall, I thought it was a really good show. The kind of laying the groundwork for Backlash.
Yep.
And, you know, getting us into Friday Night SmackDown. It was, I thought it was super, super enjoyable.
Yeah. So I agree. So I had an issue with the draft, like breaking up the timing of the show on SmackDown the day before or the Friday before. Cause I was like, but I guess because Raw's a 3-hour show, it kind of seemed to flow a little better.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this Raw too. The final angle with Sokoa and the Usos, where he's coming out, you don't know exactly what he's going to do. I thought that was a great twist to the story.
Yeah.
And as we kind of talk through some of the other stuff that happens through this week and what we think is going to happen at Backlash, that plays a key part, which of course it does. That's why they did it. It's good booking. That match is good. It's funny. Every time we do this, we talk about Raw. I'm always like, I don't remember a whole lot about it. And I always feel bad because I want to remember more. And I remember the draft picks. I remember that the ending of that match. But if you were to ask me right now, like what else happened on that show? I'm like, I don't really remember.
Yeah. I mean, we got to make room for more wrestling. And, you know, if you sit down, you're going to get 3 hours on Monday. You're going to get 2 hours on Tuesday with NXT. You're going to get 2 hours on Wednesday with AEW. Thursday, you're going to get 2 hours if you watch Impact. You can also catch New Japan on Access or on demand or on if you have the Pro app as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of wrestling in
Ring of Honor, AEW. Oh, man. Yeah, there's so much wrestling out there right now.
Yeah. So,
but yeah. Yeah, I mean, Raw was, I remember enjoying it, and I think I gave it 3 beards, if I remember correctly, when we did our review on it. It was a decent show, and like you said, the flow went pretty good. They did a good job of kind of highlighting some of the matches, and the ending is what sticks out, which Vince McMahon always says, you want him to remember the end. And I remember the end, because it was definitely a hook to where I was like, I want to know where that's going now. Yeah. So I enjoyed that. And then the Dom thing, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Every time that dude touched the mic, the amount of booze. I think he's got to be the greatest, the most hated villain in wrestling right now. And that's in a world with MJF right now. Like,
absolutely. It was and it was even better on Friday night when he was trying to he would get the microphone up to his face. He would go to open his mouth, and then they would start yelling, you know, the crowd would get loud, and, you know, they were speaking in Spanish, and the crowd was just getting louder and louder and louder. Yeah. And I'm not sure what Rey Mysterio said, but
they popped
when they announced that there was going to be a rematch and Mommy and Dominic against Zelina and Rey. Oh, man. But then that little
bitch
jerk goes in and
I'm going to call him what he is.
Ray. Yeah. The little bitch goes in, slaps Ray and runs out of the ring, man. It was something. I really appreciate more every episode on what Dom's got going on.
Yeah. He is definitely quite the villain. Here's another thing where the brand split comes into play. So he's such a villain right now because he's feuding with his dad. So his dad's going to SmackDown. He's staying on Raw. What's next for him? Like, what are they going to do? WWE anti-brain maybe, but I don't see a story built now. Yeah, I don't see a story built for the Judgment Day coming outside of Backlash. The LWO is going to SmackDown. Rey's going to SmackDown. So Dominic, Rhea, they'll do something because she's, you know, the champ. So she'll be feuding with somebody coming out of it. But what are you doing with Dom? What are you doing with Finn Balor? And what are you going to do with Priest? I have a suspicion they're going to do a New Day feud. I think that would be good. I think Dom getting booed while a New Day makes fun of him will be fantastic.
Oh, man. Burp, burp, burp. And yeah. They
but I don't know how far out Big E is from coming back yet. So yeah. That's my only thing. Like, and I'm fine with it. I don't like knowing. I like it to be a surprise. I think that's one thing AEW does really well is they keep the injuries kind of secret. You know, and I've said it before on our podcast that AEW is kind of very old school to me where they work the media. So the media, I think, gets worked into a frenzy on something that's really not going to happen. They do some good stuff. And I feel like WWE is kind of like, maybe we should do some of this too.
Yeah.
And they've started to do it. Like you see social media, you'll see, you know, Charlotte and Becky going back and forth on Twitter. And everybody's like, oh, that must be real. And it may be real, but they worked it into a storyline. And I think the more they learn from that, the more I am starting to appreciate the WWE more. So, I think I gave Raw. I think I did three beards, if I remember correctly.
I gave it three beards and, you know, a couple of the draft picks really, you know, didn't. I thought they did better with the who came out and announced the draft picks. And like you said, maybe because it was a 3-hour show, not a two. And they drafted more to Monday night because the show was longer. And just Monday Night Raw three beards. I thought the matches were good. The promos were nice. But yeah. Last night.
Before we talk about last night, just because I know the commission wants to hit that SmackDown button, let's transition into SmackDown.
The People's Show. Come on to the premiere show, SmackDown.
There you go. I know he's over it and he wanted to hit it. So
nice. Thanks, Kamesh. thanks, JT. Yeah, I was about to just start running.
Now you can run.
Back. But yeah, so I was watching on social media all of the WWE superstars as they were out and about in San Juan and as they were arriving and, you know, what some of the publicity stuff that they were doing. Cody is just, I mean, now I'm thinking back to a very dark day in my wrestling fandom when you saw Cody take an L at WrestleMania.
Still think it was the worst move the WWE made.
I think it was a very bad move because I wanted him to be the champion. But I wish they would have done better with the story, the build up to it about him wanting to finish his story and then just coming out with this WWE title. There could have been like 100 different ways that you could have done it. But Cody coming out during the presser, looking like a million bucks, yep, speaking Spanish, just I thought it was awesome.
And that his song.
Yeah. And so part of me is like, man, I really wanted Cody to be the undisputed universal heavyweight champion. But the story is that his dad was never the WWE world heavyweight champion.
They could have still done it though.
Right. Sorry. But Triple H comes out and names the new WWE title, the WWE heavyweight championship. So he wins the world title. He wins the world heavyweight championship from the WWE. I really want him to be the inaugural champion, but that sort of isn't necessarily his hard times. And it may not be him that wins it. He may have to go through a little bit more. Or hell, he could even really hit us with a swerve and go tell Triple H, I'm demanding a trade. And, you know, he goes over and chases after Roman Reigns still. But I thought the show was really good. The promos were fantastic. The crowd was so just awesome. And seeing Bad Bunny put on that LWO t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was,
now you know how that match is going to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I was surprised. Did you notice he had a WWF shirt on or a jacket on? His sleeve
is that what they were talking about?
Yeah, okay, his sleeve was WWF, and I was like, ooh,
yeah,
I'm gonna get in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, but I thought what McMahon was upset about was Bunny putting on the t-shirt, but now that makes sense. He said
a WWF a jacket. Yep.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. And then it's almost like he tried to hide it, 'cause he kind of kept it around his shoulder so you couldn't see it. But when he popped it up that one time, you could blatantly see
clear as day.
Yeah. Big red WWF. I'm like, oh, he's going to get in trouble. One thing I wanted to point out on SmackDown, again, decent show. I enjoyed it. Wasn't a whole lot. I watched it. I didn't like feel like I was wasting my time like I do sometimes. I thought they did a very good job. And it's funny, I'm watching this, so a little behind the scenes for the new folks watching us. The thing I chuckle about every time Ellie Jr. there brings up commercials and fans, he brings it up all the time. He's obsessed with when the commercial breaks are and how loud the fans are.
Why do you have to go picture in picture for 2 minutes and then cut to another commercial when you were just picture in picture? Come on, especially during a women's match.
Hey, man, just enjoy wrestling. Hey, no, I
love commercials. Let's go.
He does. Boy, like, go back and listen to the podcast leading up to WrestleMania. He just raves about the commercial breaks and how awesome the commercials were. But I will say, though, I appreciated this crowd. Like, maybe it's because our conversation last week where we talked about, you kind of brought it up, like, do you ever pay attention? And I don't. I paid attention this time, and I'm like,
oh, my God.
Oh, man, the crowd is popping. They're into it. Like, they were chanting along. They're uno, dos, tres. And, like, I was really digging it. So, Backlash tonight, I think, is going to be off the chain.
Oh, if you're bringing someone who's young to this show tonight, please bring ear protection. WWE, you can probably offer it for $19.95, even though it'd be like a 99-cent item. Some WWE Ear Pro. It is going to be loud. And like how you were saying, when they're counting the three, the uno, dos, tres, it just made every match feel like a championship.
Yep.
And, you know, just like when Zelina had the microphone and she was getting ready to talk and they were giving her the pep talk, I thought, this is awesome. And, you know, I'm like running through my head now. I'm like almost distracting myself. I can't figure out what they're going to do with Dom. But
I messed you up, huh?
There's going to have to be. Yeah, I'm trying to think on who's on the show that he can face and heel with and still tie in the Judgment Day. And I think the world of Damian Priest as well. I mean, I really liked him when he was Punishment Martinez. And to trust him in this match with one of the most popular people on the planet who's not a professional wrestler, it's kudos to Damian Priest and the quality of work that he does. And, you know, like what they were doing with Corbin for a while, and he was getting some of the gimmicky matches, and same thing with Sami Zayn. That's win, lose, or draw on this match tonight, the San Juan Street Fight. I think Damian Priest is going to come out gold.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. A couple quick things to point out that happened on SmackDown before we roll into some Backlash is, I love the segment in the back with the Usos about working together. And do we have this? Mm-hmm. And Solo, yeah, I heard the question. Like, why didn't you answer? Like, you could feel the tension there. And I dig it. I think it's good. The LWO thing. I think I mentioned it. I think that's going to play a big part in the outcome of that match tonight.
Yeah.
Whether they get involved, whether they stop somebody from getting involved, something's going to happen with that. I think that's maybe how Bad Bunny's going to get the win. Oops, spoiler for when we talk about Backlash. But
yeah.
Well, yes. Hell, we might as well just roll right into it.
Yeah, we'll roll into the card. So rumor has it, allegedly, the opening match is going to be the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa, Jimmy Uso, and Jey Uso versus Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and the original bro. So how do you think that one's going to go?
I've got the team of Owens, Sami Zayn, and Matt Riddle winning. I believe Solo betrays the Usos and thumps them, doesn't show up. I don't know. I kind of think it's going to be one of those blatant things. Like, he's just going to come. They're going to try to tag him in and he drops down and walks away. or he spikes him and walks away. I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be one of those accidental, I pushed you on accident. Oh no, what are we going to do? I think it's going to be very like, okay, the Usos are in trouble now.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the next step in that storyline.
Yeah. I was thinking originally that Jimmy was going to be holding Sammy and Solo was going to go to spike him and end up spiking Jimmy. But yeah, I think there's going to be something that's blatant, and it's going to be the beginning and the end. And however this story is going to play out with them all on Friday night is going to be super, super interesting. So,
yep.
And then we've got Seth Rollins versus Almos. Very Vincey match. I think if they're penciling Seth Rollins to be in this tournament, Almos takes the L, which doesn't really help this monster character that he's supposed to be portraying, but it's whatever.
Yeah.
Then we have the triple threat match for the United States Championship. Your champion Austin Theory going up against Bobby Lashley and Mr. Nice Guy Bronson Reed.
Yeah, it's a shame the draft happened, because I really was looking at Bronson Reed, but they're not going to put that title with the Intercontinental title on the same show. So I believe Austin Theory retains, and I'd like to see Austin Theory get into a program with LA Knight.
Yeah.
And have a run at the U.S. title for a while, personally.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be phenomenal. I had originally thought Bobby Lashley would come out the victor in this, but I think he's going to be tied up with the WWE Championship tournament. So he'll get in and out of this program. Austin Theory and Bobby will get away from each other, and Austin Theory will get some more character work going alongside one of the greatest talkers in wrestling with L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
Then we have the Raw Women's Championship. This one has a potential to be a five bearder with the Empress of the Sky, Io Sky, versus your champion, Bianca Belair, who's about to hit 400 days as the world champion.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I keep going back and forth. I want to say it's going to be Bianca because of the legacy they want of her title reign and all this other stuff. But, man, I would love to see a swerve and have Damage Control cost her the title. But you're right. I think this – personally, I think this has match of the night potential. I don't see another match other than possibly the Rhea Ripley match being as good as this match is going to be.
Yeah.
Io Sky is amazing. If you've never seen some of her stuff in Stardom and New Japan and NXT, definitely worth a watch. Fantastic worker. Bianca is a big match wrestler, in my opinion. I don't think she does really good on the day-to-day shows on Raw and all that, but I think put her in the spotlight in a pay-per-view match and she goes, and it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, when the lights are brightest, the champ shines. Bianca Belair comes out your victor because of Damage Control jacking something up. Io Sky ends up nailing the hugger, and Damage Control disintegrates before our very eyes. So, Io Sky can then get into a program against Bianca and then be crowned your champion where she should belong. Quick side note, Io Sky actually trained Thunder Rosa. I found that out on Friday, which I was like, wow, I had no idea. So then we have another potential match of the night who just a phenomenal character work by Rhea Ripley. And she's going against a hometown favorite in Zelina. And I'm here for it. I think this one is going to be 4.5 beards easy. Yep. And Zelina's going to get some of her stuff in, and Rhea can sell. And then when she's done doing that, she's going to sell a little more, and they're going to, I usually don't like when they play to the crowd when you're doing shows. Mm-hmm. Like when they went, AEW did this in Pittsburgh and there was like 9,000 people, but for this one, they're going to play to Zelina. And Rhea is going to come out with a victory, But Zelina's going to end up looking really, really strong.
Yeah, I'm aligned. I think it's going to be Rhea. I think you're going to hear one of the loudest pops on one of those 2.9999 kickouts, those false finishes for sure. But yeah, they're not going to take it off Rhea right now. So it'll be Rhea.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Also, I think what's going to happen tonight down in maybe not in the parking area, maybe in the back, they'll have a back stage segment where they present new titles to Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley instead of doing that wonky title switch. Or they could do something funky, but I doubt that they'll do it where the champion loses the title. Well, she got drafted to the other show, and now you could end up having something weird if Io Sky ends up winning the title, but I don't think they're going to do that.
Because I don't see either title. Yeah, I don't see either title changing hands.
Yeah. So, and then our main event.
This is the one where we're going to argue about, I bet.
Oh, my God. I feel a certain kind of way about this. You've got the American Nightmare. I just bought your title. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. And Cody Rhodes comes out the victor.
Nope.
Looking strong. He's going to hit over under on his Rhodes move.
Crossroads.
Yeah. I think he hits 5 crossroads and Brock Lesnar goes nighty night and siestas in San Juan.
Nope. I think Brock goes over. So I see it going either. Yeah, I think Brock goes over. So I've got two scenarios in my head. Well, actually, I've got two scenarios. I got Brock winning one and Cody winning the other. But either way, Brock just decimates Cody. Either he's going to come out and it's going to be a flashback of Brock beating John Cena, where he did the 52 suplexes or whatever ridiculous number it was.
Yeah.
And you see Cody come out, Cody's cheering, boom, suplex, 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 F5, pin him, done. And I think now hard times begins. Even though I swear he's done hard times, I should have gotten the damn title at flipping WrestleMania. But anyway, I think it goes that way and Brock wins, or Cody does win. He gets the win, but then Brock just decimates him. And now we've got a rematch set up for down the road, whatever the case is. My only thing is, when has Brock ever been in a program where he's one and done? So if Cody beats him, that's kind of one and done. There's no reason to have a rematch unless he beats him down at the end.
Yeah.
I still think that Brock wins this though.
Yeah. I think Cody comes out the victor because he's going to be part of this world title tournament that he potentially gets crowned in Saudi. So could see, you know,
I think that too. I think
what you'll see is Cody gets the win and goes into the tournament. Lesnar shows up, decimates in his match. It's Cody versus Lesnar. Cody hits 17 crossroads in Saudi Arabia because the crowd loves Brock Lesnar in Saudi, and he's Teflon, so he doesn't need to win. And he's already said he's not there for the titles. He's there to make history and make a difference. So
I still think Brock is going to be your inaugural champion. Hmm. I think he beats Cody. I think he beats Cody so bad Cody's not in the tournament for the title. And Brock goes on to win the title, and now your story is him chasing Brock, which is, I don't know, they've kind of booked themselves in the corner on this, which they could have fixed all this if they'd have just let him win. Every single one of these stories could have happened still. You just wouldn't have had 1,000 days.
Right.
Lie. Make it up. Make it look like 1,000 days. I don't care. They could have done everything they're doing, because I think a champion Cody going into this match would have been like a much more powerful match, right? Like now you're going, ooh, my God. Like, especially after beatdown, because now you're going, okay, Brock's going to take the title. Like, Cody's going to be one and done.
Yeah.
Like, I just think, I think the stress level of this match, I'm more anxious about this match than looking forward to it, if that makes sense. Like, I'm worried they're going to put Brock. I don't want him to, by the way. I want Cody to win it. I want Cody to go on and win the title and take it all. Huge Cody fan, but I am a little worried.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't feel that way about my wrestling. I shouldn't be like, oh, God, Vince, what are you going to do to me?
Yeah.
Can you at least lube it up a little? Like, don't just jam it in there.
That's going to leave a mark. Then we have our hometown hero, Bad Bunny, versus Damian Priest. I think Bad Bunny gets the win. The crowd goes nuts, and everybody goes home happy seeing Bad Bunny go over. And that crowd is going to just rip the roof. And
is that the main event? If they announced that
right now, that's the rumored main event. Yep.
Then Brock's definitely winning, because they'll send the fans happy home happy with Cody.
Yeah.
But man, an hour went by fast.
Yeah.
We had an hour time block. So gonna do our quick plugs and then we'll get on out of here. But hope everybody enjoyed it. This is our first live show. I don't know how messy it came off. We enjoyed it. We had a good time. If you like what you're seeing, check out our podcast at No Shave Man Cave, wherever you get your podcast from. We drop daily wrestling conversations, reviews, and all that good stuff. You can follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Rumble. Am I missing any? I think that's it. At No Shave Man Cave. If you want to get in touch with us, noshavemancave@gmail.com. Time for the hot tag and my boy to hit his closer.
Bump and feed to our ladies and our men, our brothers and sisters in arms. Thank you for your service. Some gave all gave some. If you are in need of any help in any form or fashion, and you're dealing with any kind of mental stress, mental health needs, please dial 988 or seek help somewhere. On behalf of JT, I'm Ellie J. We're the No Shave Man Cave. Thanks for joining us here on the Fantasy Sports Corp, and we'll see you here
next
week, live and nationwide. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other, and I'll see you on the floor.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.